Hallelujah. Let's open our Bibles to Book of Revelation, chapter 12, and I'm going to read verse 10 and 11. Revelation 12:10 says, I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now has come salvation, strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of the testimony, and they loved not their life unto death. I want to address the area here of dealing with the accuser of the brethren. Satan, one of his tactics or one of the things he does is to accuse us. Now, he also tries to tempt us to pull us away from God, but he tries to accuse us so that you do not come before God with any confidence. But the scripture says that we have boldness by the blood of Jesus Christ to boldly come before the throne of God and bring our petitions before him. So there is a confidence we have because we are not under the condemnation that is the result of sin abiding in our spirit man. We're not abiding under condemnation and feeling inferior and having no right to approach God nor to stand with authority on this earth. Accusation serves to say you have no voice, you have no right to speak, you have no right to authority. Now, Satan understands that the kingdom of God is built upon the revelation of Jesus Christ expressed. So if he can keep people from speaking the truth, then he can keep the gospel from going forth and people from being set free. There are some countries where you can be there as a Christian, but you can't evangelize. You can't speak. Well, if you can't speak, well, then the gospel is not going to go out. The thing here in our nation is you have the freedom to believe as you want to believe and to speak that freely and to advocate for what you believe or freedom of speech. Well, Satan is an accuser of the brethren. And where I want to go with this is that there has been an unleashing of accusation like we've never seen before. And in the Ten Commandments, the ninth commandment states as a command, thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. Well, we have so much of this day of accusation, specifically like, you're a racist, you're a homophobe, you're this or that. Now, there are things the Bible calls sin. And those who don't want to have any conviction of sin in their life, who reject the Holy Spirit dealing with their conscience, they will use accusation to try to shut you up. And they want you to believe you cannot speak what the Bible says. Romans chapter 1 is very, very clear that the worship of creation is an abomination and that the sexual sin and homosexuality, lesbianism, and all of that is sin. It's defiance against God as creator and what he had ordained. But for anyone to even imply anything like that, much less outwardly speak it, well, you're a homophobe, you're whatever all the names they have for us now. And if you're a conservative value person, you're a this, that, and the other. So this accusation is used. Now, that's devolved into this thing called cancel culture, where they'll want to completely smear you, your reputation, your integrity. You have no credibility, that you are unworthy to have any voice, to have any say, to even exist among them. That's what's happening in the land today. It rather sickens me. I knew my wife when I said, we're sick of hearing that stuff. But it's not going to go away. Accusation is a work of the devil. And he will try to accuse you relative to your past sins, but then he'll also accuse you of what you didn't do. And accusing of your past sins, he'll try to bring it up. Well, you're this, you're that, because you've done something. You're not perfect. And again, therefore, you have no right to stand strong or to believe anything or to speak anything. That's the ultimate aim, to shut you up. Because if you cannot express what you know of God, then there's no power there. The power of God's released in the revelation you have being expressed, spoken, and acted upon. So the enemy will bring up your past, and that's where the blood of the Lamb, as mentioned here, verse 11, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. That's where the victory is we know we have been forgiven by the work of the blood of Jesus Christ. We are cleansed, and by our faith, the power of the work of the blood is appropriated to us, where our conscience is cleansed. It says in Hebrews chapter 9, our conscience is being purged by the blood of the Lamb, by Jesus Christ. Cleansed, purged out all manner of sin and the effects of sin. You see, guilt is one of the effects of sin. Guilt brings condemnation, which makes you feel that you are inferior or you are unqualified to be able to speak. So again, this is a tool of the devil. Don't let him bring up your past. If you've confessed your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive, 1 John 1:9, and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. He removes the guilt. Some people know God forgives, but they carry the guilt of things around all their life because they don't believe in the forgiveness of God and the cleansing. They don't have faith for the cleansing, the purging of their conscience. We need to believe God at his word, that the work of the blood does that, and release faith. And in the confession and action upon the word of God, we're releasing the power of God to cleanse us. Satan does not want you knowing or confessing forgiveness and cleansing of sin by the blood of Jesus Christ. So if Satan wants to dig up your past, just remind him of his past. Satan, shut your mouth. You've been defeated. You have no power. I've been forgiven of my past. It's removed as far as the east is from the west. It's completely taken out of my life. Now, sometimes, as I mentioned earlier, people struggle forgiving themselves. The way you get the victory there is to meditate upon what God said he would do, that he's going to forget it. If God's going to forgive it, who are you to still remember it? You're placing yourself, your emotions, and your thinking above what God says and above him. If God says he forgets it, then you forget it. So we meditate on that until we come to a place of faith that it's gone, it's released, it's taken out from us. So then we learn the righteousness of God in Christ, bringing a cleansing or a right standing with God, that by our faith in the work of the blood, Hebrews 10:19, I can boldly come before the throne of God and bring every petition I would have based on the will of God, just based on the covenant of God, his promises. I can boldly come before him with a confidence. Now, if you have unconfessed sin in your life, what that does is that will hinder your confidence in prayer before God. It's very important. You don't let sin lay. It's a luxury you can't afford. You got to get rid of it. You can't hang on to it. You confess it, humble yourself, confess it, get it out, that there's no condemnation. Now, sometimes people like to quote Romans 8:1, there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ, but it goes on to say, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In other words, as soon as you're aware of any sin, humble yourself and confess it immediately. That's a habit we want to develop. You don't walk around with guilt and inferiority. Confess it, be cleansed, be in right standing, and walk upright before the Lord. And therefore, you can have a confidence and a boldness moving forward in this life. Well, the enemy will want to shut you up by saying you're unworthy to speak, but then also accuse you of things you haven't even done. And say, well, you're a racist, you're a homophobe, this, that, or the other. The Bible teaches us to hate sin and love the sinner. God so loved the world, he sent a son to die for every sinner. But he hates sin. Why? Because love hates sin. Love hates sin because sin destroys the object of his love, which is people. If you love God, you'll hate sin. People that kind of wink and nod at sin have very little love for God. Their desire to please him is minimal. I'm not saying it's non-existent, but it's not what it should be. So the enemy will try to accuse us of what we didn't do, again, to shut us up, because the power of God is released in the spoken word. So if he can keep you from speaking the word of God and keep you from prayer, well, God doesn't want to hear you. You're an unrighteous, dirty old worm. Well, then he can render you powerless and he can still control things. And then you couple that with people who hate the convicting power of God, people that reject the Holy Spirit's ministry. They will despise those who speak truth, and they want to shut you up. So they're going to cancel culture you. They're going to say, you have no right to speak, Mr. Christian. So we can just say, you know, this isn't me. This is what God says. Romans chapter 1 just says it. You know, I remember a few years back, our state representative joined in with people to pass this hate crime law. And I went to a borough meeting where this person was, and he was saying about all this. Well, we already had laws against hate, you know, doing things out of that. But really what I saw happening there is they were trying to pass laws that if someone like me says, the Bible says this is sin, they want to call that a hate crime and accuse you of hatred and thereby justify persecution or shutting you up, saying you can't talk. You can't talk. Now, whether it's to me over the pulpit or whether you at your workplace, in any case, prohibiting speech. So the enemy is an accuser. Again, he'll try to shut you up, and he'll accuse you, bring up your past sins, which you need to shut him up by realizing the work of the blood of Christ. But then he goes on to say, and by the word of their testimony, they love not their lives unto death. When accusation comes, we have to learn to handle this right. Satan will use accusation against you. Now, maybe you've never experienced that yet. You probably have. Even with children, you have kids accuse another child, and it really disturbs children. You know, this you know, little Johnny said this about me. It's not true. It's not true. In human nature, people want fairness. You see it in like kindergarten age. Everything to be fair. Everybody's crayon needs to be the same size. It's not fair. But you have accusations come. But as you're moving forward in life, the enemy will try to use accusation to take you down. And we have to learn, how would God have us handle that? Now, if you're in a position of representing God to people like I am, and that's part of like the pastoral work, is you're representing the Lord. When you're a witness to the unsaved, you're representing the Lord. There'll be those who, under the influence of Satan, will want to accuse. Now, we are directed to live a blameless life and to not give the appearance of evil. In other words, don't give the devil something to work with to bring accusation. That being said, if he can't find something, he'll just make something up. And one of the things we see is that the devil will use law to accuse you and say, oh, you're breaking this law. That's what the Pharisees did with Jesus. They were constantly watching him. They'd ask certain questions. They tried to set him up, waiting for his answer to accuse him. When people around Daniel wanted to take Daniel down, they said, well, we can't find anything wrong with him. We'll use his law against him. And they persuaded the Persian king to make a law that if you don't bow down and worship the king, that they should be killed. So they had this law. So here's, or if they pray to any other god, so here's Daniel. They knew he's still going to pray to his god. They knew he would do that. So they used his belief based on what he knew the will of God was against him and made a law to try to be able to accuse him, which then they said, see, he's praying to another god. Into the lion's den he goes. I remember traveling in Russia, riding in a car once and talking with brothers that were with us there, Russian brothers. And they said that in Russia, at that time anyway, that everyone was a lawbreaker because they would purposely pass laws that contradicted. So anyone that had a business, if you weren't breaking this law, you'd have to be breaking this law. So that the government knew if they wanted to go after you and accuse you and then thus imprison you or extort money from you, all they had to do was look closely enough that you had to be breaking some law, because laws were set up to contradict. So if you're obeying one law, you're going to be breaking another one. That's a very, very frustrating thing to live under, but that's what they were living under. So Satan would use laws to try to accuse. And we have that even to somewhat in our own country, where there will be legal things levied at you to try to be able to attack you. So the enemy is going to bring accusation, could use law. That's why we need to try to comply as much as we can. Try to comply with laws. However, an unjust government could have laws that contradict, where no matter what you do, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. You're wrong here or you're wrong there. You're going to be wrong with something. And again, that's frustrating, but that's what the enemy will do to disposition for accusation. But then there are things that are just made up lies. And that can be very frustrating. And we have to learn how to handle that, in that the God way of handling it is, let truth be your defense. if you just try to fight and make excuses and come against everything that comes against you, it's like running from an animal. Now the chase is on. They're going to run after you. You can't do anything about lies being brought against you. Let truth be your defense. That's something I encountered as a pastor when people would, for whatever reason in their mind, begin to view me, I'm their problem, because I'm not promoting them to be the prophet they're calling themselves to be. That's happened already. Well, now I'm the problem. So they're going to come against me. So if they can't find something, then they're going to conjure up some lie. And I've had this happen many times. And your human instincts to want to defend yourself. But the more you do that, the more then they'll take that and come after you for that. So what I've come to learn is if there's a lie or an accusation and you all hear it, you all are on trial, not me. I don't have to prove myself. You're on trial. What are you going to do with what you hear? 1 Timothy 5:19 says, don't receive an accusation against another except before two or three witnesses. Exodus 20:16 says, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. We should be very, very careful that we don't enter into this zone of Satan's work, and that we just listen to accusations and repeat it. Some might call that gossip, slander, because in doing that, then you enter into someone else's sin at the direction of Satan, and you undermine your brothers and sisters in the Lord. So we need to be very, very careful not to accuse. There are times things appear a certain way, but it's not the way it seems. And what we need to do is be a people of truth, that you would find out the truth. Now, when you really know someone and you hear some lie against them, you may know, I know Shane, he didn't say that. And you can just dismiss it because you know a person according to the truth. But those who are always quick to be judgmental and suspicious and read into things, no matter who it is, they just take on whatever they hear. And nowadays with the media, you have this, it's almost constant propaganda and lies to undermine people in authority or undermine anyone dealing in truth. And we need to be disciplined to not fall prey to that satanic work. It's established. We see it here in Scripture. But to be a people of the truth, that if I hear something and I'm unsure, then I'm going to find out the truth and say, you know, Pastor Bill, I heard this. What do you know about that? Or what do you say? Well, here's what I said, or here's what was done. Oh, okay. And that's the end of it. There's a discipline to being a person that loves the truth. Sometimes people enjoy seeing others tore down. It makes them feel superior or raised up. So they'll be quick to lay hold of lies and accusations. But is it the truth? So one of the things we want to learn to do is to seek out truth. But then when it is an accusation against you, we have to put it in God's hands, that the truth that you live and walk in will be seen and it will speak. And at the end of the day, you'll be the one justified by what is true. Liars eventually all get exposed. If liars just continue on long enough, they expose themselves. Now, all that being said, I want to go to Psalm 61 and expounding upon this. Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O God, end of my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Or, you know, a high place, a rock higher than your enemy. That God would take us to a place where we're going to stand above all this nonsense, all this lying garbage that would try to come against us, the things that would discredit. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. Now, the enemy's lies can be as those fiery darts mentioned in Ephesians chapter 6, the fiery darts of the devil. And in God, we have a shelter or a strong tower where we are protected from these things. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the cover of thy wings. Or God, you're going to protect and deliver me. So he's stating his faith here. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. Now I would conclude, this was written by David, that when Absalom was coming against him, there was lies coming against David, and that as king, even though he had authority, the devil sought to take him down with lying accusation. He shall abide before God forever, speaking of himself, prepare mercy and grace which may preserve him. Mercy, not mercy and grace, I misread it. Mercy and truth which may preserve him. The word mercy there is chesed, covenant love, and truth would preserve or protect you. Accusation would seek to rob you of your reputation, to rob you of authority, to rob you of having any right to speak, to discredit you, to make you as nothing, that then you can be attacked and tore down. But the truth is your defense. And there can be times you have nothing else to rest on but the truth. Lies are floating out there about you. Accusations, things that are not true. And all you can do is just stand. Or as it says in Revelation 12:11, the word of your testimony. Now, there's some various applications to that. But one of which, what I want to bring out right now, is that the life that you live in Christ, your testimony speaks. And if your witness, your example, your testimony shows forth integrity, it shows up uprightness, it shows someone who's endeavoring to walk in the ways of God, that will speak to those around you. Where people who know you would say, I know the testimony of so-and-so. I don't believe that that's the truth about them. And you can throw down lying, accusational, demonic attacks that would come. If you're the one being attacked, sometimes you can't really defend yourself. You just have to stand on the truth. In time, the truth will stand where lies will fall. Lies will be exposed. The truth will come out. And God protects us with his mercy and truth, or his covenant love, a covenant relationship that has covenant promises of deliverance and protection. He will deliver us from the liar. He will deliver us from accusation. Now, I'm sharing this relative to what's going on around us. I'm not presently aware of any lie about me. It isn't about me. Maybe there is one out there. I don't know. Maybe it wouldn't surprise me because the accuser of the brethren will try to do that. But in our culture, in our society, with media and all that, the lying's like nonstop. Lying and accusation. And it's all endeavoring to undermine the authority of God, truth, conviction, and all of these things. So David says, so will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may perform my vows. I'm going to praise the Lord because truth is my defense. Covenant love is behind me, or God's backing me up. Who's got your back? God's got your back. And his truth will be your defense. Truth will prevail. If you don't believe that, then you're going to fight in your own ability. And the more you fight this type of thing in your own ability, you just struggle and wear yourself out and frustrate yourself. But as we understand, God will defend me through truth and through covenant love. I can cast the care of these things over on the Lord. If somebody wants to believe evil about you, they can believe evil. If they want to listen to devils, they can listen to devils. There's plenty of lying devils out there and all around to bring accusation. And as we move closer and closer in the end times, you can expect even more and more of that lying accusation. We can shut the devil's mouth to bringing up your past because it's under the blood. And we can stand strong in the face of lies and accusations because the truth that we're walking in will speak. It will testify. The testimony of your life to people around you will be that which sincere people will believe. People that are critical, judgmental, they're going to believe what they want to believe anyway. However, our God delivers us and preserves us from all of these evil things. So we rise and praise him because we serve a God of truth and of mercy who will deliver us out of these things. So let's stand and give praise to our Lord today. Hallelujah.